A note to listeners, the material in this episode covers the weight loss industry and diet culture, which could be upsetting for some people. This episode also contains adult language. This series originally aired exclusively on Wondery Plus in 2022. September 1961, Little Neck, Queens, New York. Jean Nidich pushes her shopping cart down the supermarket aisle. She's wearing her favorite muumuu, which flows around her. The salon's just touched up her brunette bob. She puts a carton of eggs into her cart, next to the hamburger meat. At the next aisle, she exchanges smiles with another housewife and adds a box of chocolate Malamars to the cart. Nidich wheels the cart to the checkout. The cashier greets her with a smile and starts ringing up the items. She rings up the eggs and hamburger meat, then the Malamars. The cashier's eyes flick toward Nidich, then back to the cash register. Nidich smiles.
My sons adore Malamars. Would you believe they ate the entire box I bought yesterday? Those boys will eat me out of house and home.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's $10.95.
Oh, I got a coupon for the eggs.
Nidich searches her handbag as the cashier bags the shopping.
I have it somewhere.
She checks the deep pockets of her muumuu. There's nothing in them but pistachio nuts.
I must have forgotten it. Never mind.
As Nidich heads for the exit, an acquaintance rushes over.
Jean? How are you? You look amazing. How was your summer?
Why, thank you. Summer was great.
Well, you look radiant. When's the baby due?
Nidich's face drops. She reels like she's been slapped. She is definitely not pregnant.
I gotta go.
The woman's hand moves towards her mouth in embarrassment, but Nidich is already leaving. Nidich hurries out of the store onto the street. A car honks as she steps into the road.
Hey, watch where you're going, lady.
Nidich is rattled at being mistaken for pregnant. But the encounter gives her a moment of clarity. She is the 37-year-old housewife who hides her body beneath a muumuu with pockets full of pistachios. The woman who locks herself in the bathroom so she can devour the Malamars she claims are for her kids. Nidich enters her apartment and shuts the door. She feels exposed. With one question, her armor of denial has been blown apart. She reaches for the phone and starts dialing a number she told herself she would never call, the number for New York City's obesity clinic. After years of ineffectual diets, self-loathing, and shame, she's hit rock bottom. This clinic is her last hope. And what she learns there will not only transform her, but make weight loss advice a multi-billion dollar industry that will have an enormous impact on millions of people worldwide. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In this series, we check the scales of the weight loss industry. In 2019, America spent a record $78 billion on slimming down, even as the body positivity movement gathered steam. A lot of people abandoned their scales during COVID, but as people emerged from the pandemic a bit heavier, the weight loss industry bounced back. In 2021, people spent $73 billion on diet plans and products. The established heavyweights in the field are Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, and WW, the company formerly known as Weight Watchers. But newer online-only contenders like Noom and MyFitnessPal are also gaining ground. But in the 1960s, this was still decades away. Back then, the weight loss advice industry didn't exist. But Queens housewife Jean Nidich is about to change that. This is Episode 1, Scaling Up. December 1961, the Bureau of Nutrition, Manhattan. In a room saturated in fluorescent light and furnished with rows of uncomfortable chairs, Jean Nidich watches as another obesity clinic patient leaves the scales with her eyes downcast. The nutritionist in charge of the city-run clinic turns to Nidich.
Time for your weigh-in, Ms. Nidich.
Nidich stands and walks toward the nutritionist. Oh, how she hates that skinny bitch. It's the way she floats around all wispy, telling people that she doesn't even like food. Not like the women she reprimands each week. Nidich steps onto the scale. The other patients watch in numbed silence. For Nidich, this place is purgatory. When you've done every diet and still not lost weight, this is where you end up. The nutritionist adjusts the scale and looks at Nidich.
You lost 2 pounds, but you should have lost 2 pounds, 9 ounces. What went wrong?
I don't know. I followed the plan. I ate the liver, the fish, and drank the milk.
The nutritionist folds her arms. Nidich scrambles for an excuse. She's not going to tell the truth. The truth is, she locked the bathroom door and chowed down on Malamars.
The only thing that might explain it is I'm premenstrual.
Ms. Nidich, you've been premenstrual for the past 4 weeks. We have a waiting list. If you don't follow the diet, I'll have to ask you not to come back.
Nidich panics. She's got nowhere else to turn.
I'll follow it, I promise.
As always, the scales will be the judge. Next!
Nidich steps off the scales, fuming. This skin-and-bones nutritionist will never understand that food is a loyal friend through life's ups and downs. How it hugs you when you're sad. How it lifts you higher when you're happy. How could she ever know what it's like to love food? Nidich decides if she's going to complete this diet, she needs backup from people who understand. Backup from people who will cheer when she sheds 2 pounds and steal her resolve when the Malamars lead her into temptation. January 1962, Little Neck, Queens. In her living room, Nidich is playing host to 6 of her largest friends. She invited them over for an afternoon of mahjong and cake, but the cake was a lie, and the mahjong tiles remain untouched. Instead, Nidich reveals her ruse. She wants them to join her on the obesity clinic diet, without the skinny bitch running things.
It really works. I've already lost 20 pounds.
A friend in a polka dot dress eyeballs Nidich.
You don't look like you lost 20 pounds.
Well, I have. Look, here's the plan.
Nidit shows them the clinic's weekly menu. It's big on fish dinners, liver, and milk. A friend in a billowy green cardigan shakes her head.
Can I swap the daily milk for an ice cream sundae once a week?
No, the menu's non-negotiable. Look, I love Malamars, but they're why I only lost 2 pounds last week.
You ate Malamars and lost 2 pounds? What's your problem with that?
Malamars are my Frankenstein. I never told anyone this before, but I buy them and hide them in the bathroom hamper. Then later, I lock myself in and eat the whole box. Sometimes two.
There's silence. Then, the woman in polka dots speaks.
Last night, I snuck downstairs at 2 a.m. to eat macaroni salad by the refrigerator light.
Nidich jerks forward.
I do that too.
One time, Marty and I went out and I left a strawberry shortcake for the babysitter. When we got back, she hadn't touched it. So, as Marty took her home, I picked it up in my hands and shoved it into my mouth.
The friend in the cardigan nods understandingly.
Hands. Clever. Forks leave evidence.
That's not the worst bit. When Marty got back, I said to him, "Well, would you look at that? The skinny babysitter ate the entire shortcake."
For the next hour, secrets spill out. They all have their own war stories from the front lines of the fight with fat. By the time they're ready to leave, they've agreed to join Nidich on the diet. As they pull on their coats, one of them turns to Nidich.
Can we do this again next week?
Nidich smiles.
How about every week?
Jean's group meets again the following Wednesday. The original six bring friends. The week after, those friends bring their friends. Within months, 40 women are squashed into Nidich's apartment for a weekly fix of diet advice, support, and confessions. The group moves into the basement of Nidich's apartment building. They buy a medical scale for weigh-ins. Nidich starts a second group on Saturdays. She gives gold pins to reward those who lost 10 pounds. For every extra 10 pounds lost, she adds a tiny diamond chip to the pin. When some men join the meetings, she gives them gold tie bars. These are not high-end items, but Nidich pays for it all herself. The groups also strengthen Nidich's own resolve. 1 year after enrolling with the obesity clinic, Nidich reaches her target weight. Thrilled by the results, she makes it her mission to tell others how she did it. And as word spreads about the housewife turned diet guru, Nidich starts making free home visits too. April 1963, Baldwin Harbor, Long Island. In his living room, Garmin executive Al Lippert opens the box Nidich has just given him. Inside is a gold tie bar with 3 diamond chips. It represents the 40 pounds he's lost since she began helping him, his wife, and their friends lose weight. He looks through his big square spectacles at Nidich. She's no longer a plump brunette, but a slender bottle blonde.
Why are you giving me this?
Because you did so well.
But, Jean, you're not rich. Your husband's a bus driver. You've coached us for free, and now you're giving us expensive gifts.
I don't do it for the money.
Clearly. Jean, it's my turn to give you a gift. Some sound business advice. Look, what you do is valuable. So, rent a space. Get people to come to you and charge them to attend your meetings.
I can't do that.
Oh, why not?
It's not my diet. It's the obesity clinics.
But you make it work. Without you and your groups, it's just another diet. I'd never have stuck with it alone. Come on, let me help you make this into a business.
In the days that follow, Nidich and her husband, Marty, form a company with Lippert and his wife, Felice. Nidich will run the meetings. Marty will set up the room before each meeting. Lippert will manage the business, and Felice will create recipes to enliven the diet.
They name it Weight Watchers International. On May 15, 1963, Weight Watchers opens for business in a cramped room above a movie theater in Little Neck. They didn't advertise, but word has gotten around. When they open their doors, 200 people are lined up outside, eager to become the first customers. To meet the demand, Neidich runs back-to-back meetings. She opens each meeting with a weigh-in, then dispenses diet advice and opens the floor for everyone to share their diet tips and debacles. Before they leave, Neidich hands out their menu for the week. And with everyone paying $2 a session to attend, Weight Watchers turns a profit on day one. Weight Watchers' mix of diet tips and mutual support proves magnetic. Demand rapidly outstrips Neidich's ability to host meetings, so Lippert suggests she train the most successful dieters to lead more meetings. It's an ingenious move. These trainers not only know the diet, but are living proof that it works. They also know firsthand what it's like to be the person trying to lose weight. Lippert then hits on an even better idea, selling franchises to the most committed members of Weight Watchers. He sells the franchises cheap in return for 10% of the revenues the franchisees make. Franchise deals in hand, these new disciples fan out across the nation. They uproot their lives to spread the Neidich gospel in new markets, missionaries on a crusade to slim down the world. But there's plenty of money being made, too. And as Weight Watchers morphs from a housewife side project into a multi-million dollar weight loss business, others want a slice of the pie. You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. Summer, 1971, Germantown, Philadelphia. Inside his local library, Harold Katz flicks through a directory of franchised businesses. Katz is 33 and on the make. He grew up in this low-income neighborhood and spent his adolescence being terrorized by bullies. On his first day at high school, six boys ganged up on him, tore off his clothes, and left him to walk home naked through the city streets. Ever since, he's wanted to get revenge by getting filthy rich.
His current business sells car waxing machines. To get off the ground, he spent his life savings on a Cadillac and used it to hoodwink a local financier into lending him the startup capital. Now, Katz wants to follow in the footsteps of McDonald's CEO Ray Kroc by franchising his way to fortune. But every sector in this A to Z directory is saturated. He turns the pages with growing frustration. No, shoe repair? Nah. He flicks past the S's and the T's. But then he reaches W and the entry for weight control. Just one company is listed, Weight Watchers. Katz sits up.
Yeah.
He slams the book shut and hurries to the nearest payphone, feeds a coin into the slot and calls his mother.
Hey, Mom, it's Harold. How much you spend on trying to get thin every week?
Well, there's the pills, the diet foods, the doctor, and the behavioral counselor. I'd say about $60.
Katz licks his lips as a plan to make millions forms in his mind. He imagines a network of franchised weight loss clinics coast to coast. Clinics where women like his mom will buy all their diet products and services, including their food. And after years of watching his mom's yo-yo diets, Katz knows this is a business where customers will keep coming back through the door. So, he bets big. He puts his life savings of $20,000 into the project. Then, he remortgages his home to raise another $20,000. He hires part-time doctors, psychiatrists, and nurses to give his diet clinic the authoritative veneer of a medical facility. Katz hopes the move will boost customers' confidence in the weight loss products and services his clinic will sell. In December 1971, Katz opens his first shape-up clinic. And it's not long before desperate dieters are soon beating a path to its doors. By 1973, he's franchising his one-stop weight loss centers and heading for the big time. But he's got a long way to go to catch up with Weight Watchers. June 1973, Manhattan. In Madison Square Garden, 16,000 women rise from their seats and cheer. Jean Nidich has just walked on stage. Her pale pink chiffon gown trails behind her as she approaches the microphone. A woman in the front row yells as tears run down her cheeks.
Jean! Jean! You saved my marriage!
This is Weight Watchers' 10th anniversary bash, and Nidich is the star attraction.
Oh, thank you for that wonderful welcome. Can we bring the house lights up? I want to see all the beautiful people here.
The arena lights up. Nidich sees thousands of Weight Watchers who come from far and wide to hear from the woman who changed their lives.
I've been thinking all day, do I dare identify myself with this man? Do I dare say the words Martin Luther King said?
Nidich pauses to let the question hang.
I had a dream. I had a dream and it came true. The dream is here.
That dream is now a publicly listed company with sales of $15 million a year. More than 2 million people have joined Weight Watchers. But these days, it's about more than meetings. A lot more. There are Weight Watchers cookbooks, summer camps, life insurance plans, even a magazine. And in supermarkets, Nidich's face can be found on the packaging of Weight Watchers' frozen meals. But tonight's celebration is also her last hurrah. She recently quit as president, leaving CEO Al Lippert to run the show. She's also divorced Marty and moved to L.A. to start over as a rich single woman who dates film stars. But Lippert
wants out too. He feels he's taken the company as far as he can. But finding a buyer proves challenging. Talks with Gillette fail. Pillsbury bails at the 11th hour. By 1977, Lippert is still looking for the exit. But while Weight Watchers hunts for a buyer, Harold Katz is fighting to survive. Katz's chain of 150 weight loss clinics started 1977 in good health. But then, a customer in Michigan dropped dead 2 weeks into a liquid protein diet. Katz's diet empire is thrown into the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. The dead man's family sues. Federal agencies investigate the risks of liquid protein diets, and newspapers run front-page stories. Katz pivots fast. He ditches his chain's faux medical vibe and fires the doctors and nurses. He stops selling liquid protein diets and eventually settles the lawsuit with a family. Then, he renames the chain Nutrisystem. With the medics gone, it's now a weight loss center that sells individual diet counseling and its own line of space-themed food. People on the Nutrisystem diet now breakfast on Eggs Apollo and lunch on Solar Soup. And for dinner, there's options like Seafood Aurora or Chicken Constellation and Savory Sauce, all sold in aluminum pouches so they can be effortlessly cooked in boiling water. With its new brand and futuristic-sounding meals, Nutrisystem achieves escape velocity from the controversy over liquid protein diets. Soon, Nutrisystem centers are opening all over the nation, and Katz is making millions. Spring 1978, Palm Beach, Florida. In a restaurant with ocean views, Joe Flannery picks at the remains of his lunch. He's the boss of Foodways National, the producer of Weight Watchers frozen food. He's here to seal the deal of his life, selling Foodways to Heinz for $50 million. But there's a problem, and that problem is sitting at the same table. Al Lippert, the CEO of Weight Watchers. Flannery looks up from his plate at Lippert. He's chatty and laughing with Heinz Chief Operating Officer Tony O'Reilly. They've been like this since they first met more than an hour ago. O'Reilly leans toward Lippert. So this big shot analyst, he says to me, how can you do your job at Heinz while also running your newspapers back in Ireland? I said to him, it's simple, really. I don't play golf. Flannery forces a smile. This is supposed to be his moment. He only arranged his lunch to make sure Lippert wouldn't exercise Weight Watchers' option to cancel its licensing deal with Foodways and torpedo the deal with Heinz. Flannery glares as Lippert begins another story. He and Lippert have never gotten along. I should tell you about the time, Flannery snaps. I'm sorry, Al, but we've been here nearly 2 hours. Come on, I want a decision. Do I have Weight Watchers' approval to sell Foodways to Heinz or not? Lippert and O'Reilly go silent. Lippert turns to Flannery. Joe, you had my approval to sell from the moment Heinz made an offer because I will be so happy to be rid of you. Flannery sees O'Reilly trying not to laugh. Flannery figures at least he's got the deal now. But Flannery's not the only one with a deal. Lippert's got one too. Because the next day, O'Reilly offers to buy Weight Watchers too. After years of searching, Lippert's finally found a buyer for the weight loss giant. O'Reilly reckons the 80s will be a diet and fitness bonanza as the baby boomer generation grapples with the inevitable middle-age spread. And by buying Weight Watchers, Heinz will be ready to cash in. That summer, Heinz buys Weight Watchers for $72 million. But O'Reilly's hopes for Weight Watchers are soon dashed. In 1979, the U.S. plunges into a recession, and Weight Watchers membership nosedives. Heinz discovers that the diet business is super sensitive to economic downturns. Most customers are middle-aged women with kids, and when families tighten spending, mom's discretionary spending is often the first casualty. But that's not the only problem. Heinz has also inherited Weight Watchers' frozen entrees, a product line marred by lousy food and packaging better suited to wort cream. In 1980, Heinz orders a complete overhaul. But fixing an entire product line is a slow process. There are new recipes to develop, packaging to redesign, and supply chains and production lines to re-engineer. Heinz knows it'll take at least 18 months to get Weight Watchers' frozen entrees into shape. But he's not worried by that. Despite its flaws, Weight Watchers is still the best-selling frozen diet food. No other brand comes close. But Heinz is in for a shock. Because in Ohio, Nestle is cooking up a recipe to capture dieter dollars, and it's not part of some weight loss program. No, this is a pure product play. One that's about to capture the loyalty of working women who want low-calorie food fast. And that will eat into Weight Watchers' market share. We get support from Court. You know, the way people work is changing, and the workplace itself needs to change too. But what if flexibility wasn't just an option? With Court's flexible furniture solutions, you can create agile work environments that become your team's greatest advantage. Save capital with swing spaces, attract top talent with collaborative environments, and create connected spaces that employees will love. Flexibility is the future, and Court Furniture Rental helps you embrace it. Learn more at Court, that's CORT.com/office.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
November 1981, Philadelphia. Nutrisystem founder Harold Katz leads Sid and Jenny Craig into his plush office. It's bigger than most apartments and dominated by a huge curved desk. The Craigs walk over the deep beige pile carpet to their chairs. Jenny's a svelte woman with brown bouffant hair and a long string of pearls dangling from around her neck. Her husband Sid is a 49-year-old guy with a snow-white beard. Kat sits behind his desk and flips open a box of Veracruz cigars. He removes one and waves it at Sid.
Want one? No thanks. Suit yourself.
Kat lights the cigar, takes a puff, and leans back into his chair with a blissful look on his face. Kat is flying high these days. There are now 500 Nutrisystem centers nationwide, earning nearly $50 million a year. Katz is now worth more than $100 million, and he likes to flaunt it. He's bought a corporate jet, a Cadillac limousine, and even the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. But he knows there's only so many more Nutrisystem centers the market can support. So, he's looking to buy companies that sustain his empire's stellar growth. And that's why he's agreed to meet the Craigs. Katz blows a thick cloud of blue smoke into the air and looks at the couple.
So, tell me about Gloria Marshall. Why should I buy the company?
Jenny answers. She heads operations at the Gloria Marshall figure salon chain. Together, she and Sid own half the company.
Well, Gloria Marshall is headquartered in L.A. and has more than 200 figure salons.
Our salons help women get into shape using specialized machines that make getting toned effortless, like exercise bikes that work your body without you having to pedal. Last year's revenues were $35 million.
Kat sits up and looks at Sid.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. So tell me, who owns the salons?
Some are franchised, but most are company-owned.
So you're really not franchising yet. Wow. Tell me, why are you selling?
We and the Marshalls no longer agree on the company's direction. So we agreed to sell.
Ah, got it. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, this is good, because you see, people think I'm in the diet business, but I'm not. I'm in the franchising business. I'm looking to buy companies where I can use my franchising expertise to spur major growth. And you know, I think Gloria Marshall fits that description.
April 1982, Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas. In a convention room, 300 Gloria Marshall employees are about to meet their new boss, Nutrisystem CEO Harold Katz. He's just paid $15 million for the Figure salon chain, and he's eager to welcome the latest addition to the Nutrisystem family. Katz walks onto the stage at the front of the room, wearing a $500 green suit with matching leather shoes. His all-male executive team follows behind him. Sid and Jenny Craig watch from the front row. They've made $7.5 million from the sale, but Katz is paying them another $500,000 to stay a year to help the takeover go smoothly. Katz smiles at the overwhelmingly female audience.
Wow, it's like a women's lib meeting in here.
The male executives behind Katz snicker and grin, but the women in the audience aren't impressed.
But don't worry, I know you girls do have the edge over men, because if you can't get what you want by being smart, you can get it by being dumb.
Jenny Craig cringes in her seat. A woman near the back of the room shouts,
"Don't you have any women in your organization?"
"Of course I do. Helen, stand up, would you?"
A woman in the front row stands.
"Everyone meet Helen. She's my secretary."
Katz's welcome speech to the Gloria Marshall team may have been a train wreck, but Weight Watchers is facing a reckoning of its own in the freezer aisles. It's spring, 1982, and the commercial breaks on TV are full of ads for the latest creation from Nestle's frozen food brand, Stouffer's.
Your eyes will tell you. Your mouth will tell you. Stouffer's lean cuisine not only looks terrific, it tastes terrific. And if that's not enough, your scale will tell you. Your mirror will tell you. His eyes will tell you. That great lean cuisine taste is less than 300 calories.
I love the way it looks on me. I love the way it
looks. Powered by an $8 million ad assault, Lean Cuisine storms the market with its promise of tasty, low-calorie, and microwavable entrees. Dieters descend on the freezer aisles to load up on options like oriental beef and glazed chicken with vegetable rice. In Los Angeles, Ralph's supermarkets sell more Lean Cuisine zucchini lasagna than half gallons of milk. But Lean Cuisine is no overnight blockbuster. Stouffer's spent years working on this recipe for success. The breakthrough came when Stouffer's realized that people associated the word diet with bland and boring meals. So it shunned the word diet and pushed the fact that Lean Cuisine's meals contain fewer than 300 calories. It also marketed the meals like a cosmetic product with the slogan, "You'll love the way it looks on you." And with more and more women joining the workforce while trying to stay slim, Lean Cuisine's offer of tasty, low-calorie, and microwavable entrees is worth millions. Stouffer's hoped to match the $30 million a year sales of Weight Watchers frozen food. Instead, in its first year, Lean Cuisine made more than $120 million. With Lean Cuisine storming the supermarkets, and Nutrisystem centers sprouting up across the nation. Heinz's hope that Weight Watchers would deliver big growth is fading fast. And soon, there'll be another competitor gunning for dieters' dollars. Fall 1982, Los Angeles International Airport. Jenny and Sid Craig push their suitcase-loaded trolley towards the Pan Am check-in desk. It's 6 months since they sold Gloria Marshall to Nutrisystem. They were supposed to stay on for a year in return for another $500,000, but they quickly got sick of Nutrisystem's aggressive locker room culture, so they walked. But they haven't fully escaped Nutrisystem yet. They remain subject to a 2-year non-compete contract that prevents them from working for another diet business anywhere in the world, with one exception. The man at check-in greets the Craigs.
Welcome to Pan Am. Where are you flying today?
Jenny smiles.
Melbourne, Australia.
The Craigs are heading to the land down under to start a new diet empire. But they've got no intention of staying in Australia. They want to use the next 2 years to get their weight loss business fighting fit. And when the non-compete expires, they're coming back to take on the giants of the diet industry. On the next episode, Weight Watchers strikes back, civil war erupts at Nutrisystem, and Jenny Craig returns from the land of Oz. From Wondery, this is episode 1 of Diet Wars for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. If you'd like to read more about Gene Neidich and the rise of Weight Watchers, we recommend This Is Big by Marissa Meltzer and The Story of Weight Watchers by Gene Neidich. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Voice acting by Michelle Phillippe, Nicola Barber, and Carrie Kavanoff. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor, edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie for Wondery.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect.